Hey, everybody, before we get started, I really want to tell you about BoxyCharm.com. This is a beauty subscription box, and they send you full-size products. It's so cool. I'm looking at these gorgeous lipsticks and name brand cosmetics, and they promise a value of $95 a month or more, but it's got to be more because these things are full-size, high-end cosmetics. And shipping is free, and there's no long-term commitment. So definitely check out BoxyCharm.com. And it's fun. Hello, and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101. That's M-Y-L-F. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and sex, and how to make it all just a little more fabulous. But today, we're going to talk about divorce. Are you in the middle of a divorce? Are you in mediation, or did you go for lawyers? One of my passions is helping moms going through divorce manage the process and be present and emotionally available to their kids. So today, my guest, who has some experience in this, is going to chit-chat with me about where to pick your battles, right?
Can you believe this intro, Ronnie? This is the intro. This is what I'm famous for, is being divorced twice. Let me just say this for the record. Sophie, the first marriage, he got another girl pregnant.
I have no judgment about this.
I can't, you know, I'm flexible.
But you're super cool.
So that was the first one, you know, and so that, you know, and I was very young and we were only married a year and he was a musician. You know, and I was a flight attendant. I was always out of town.
You can write this one off. We can call it an annulment.
Okay,
we will annul it for you. I never said you were divorced twice. I never said you brought it up. Okay, the person you're listening to right now, let me just introduce you and tell people how good you are.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, she's a talented writer, host, apparently divorced twice, and creator of Storyworthy Media, including her podcast right here on Sideshow Network called Storyworthy, which is super fun, but the most important thing you need to know is that she has a book, Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life, available on Amazon. You should read it. You'll love it. It's fantastic. Buy it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ms. Christine Blackburn. Woo!
Now listen, when you did your book, Sophie, did you do the audiobook as well?
Not yet.
Okay, I did the audiobook. I actually even did it first, is what I did.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had listened to Marc Maron's audiobook. Well, I read his book, and then I heard him talk about his audiobook, and he said that when he did the audiobook, the book had already been out, and he said, as I said the words, I thought about how I wanted to say it differently, saying it out loud. And he said, so if I would ever do another book, I would do the audiobook first and then kind of write down what I said. Sometimes the way you speak can change the way you write.
That's, one of the little projects I'm doing right now is I'm doing a little video project on the Tao, and I thought I wanted that to come out organically that way, and then I could transcribe it should I feel that it is
what
worthy
is the
of a book.
What are you talking about?
The Tao Te Ching?
The Tao Te Ching. No, wait. Now we're speaking a different language.
Where am I?
But I'm not What's happening?
Okay.
Is it an exercise?
No. It's an ancient spiritual text of 88 verses.
I'm so stupid.
No, you're not stupid. No, it
88
it's
verses. Okay.
A whole other, I'm sorry, 81 verses.
Okay.
81 verses.
I'm jotting it down.
We'll chat.
Wow.
Well, the Tao can actually really help you through your divorce. So let's help some ladies with their divorces.
Here's the thing with divorce. My experience is that it all starts with why are you getting divorced? Because if you're getting divorced because somebody cheated or somebody lied or somebody stole money from you or there's something that there was a break in the marriage.
A huge break of trust.
A break of trust. The divorce could get really ugly. Yes. If two people have just come together or one person comes to the table and says, you know, that vow I made 8 years ago, well, I have changed my mind. You know, if somebody has a more reasonable conversation and can come to terms with, look, this is just not working for me, without lying, then I think the divorce has a better success rate.
Well, I do think that you have a much better chance of going to mediation instead of a lawyer.
Right.
Right? Because a mediator isn't a lawyer for you or for him. The mediator almost acts as a lawyer for the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really looking at what is in the best interest.
But you don't have to have children to see a mediator,
right.
Of course.
No, of course not. And they're looking at they're just now looking at how can we quantify, label, and divide.
Right.
your history.
Your assets, your yes. debt. And that your is where management of children.
That is where, even in the most amicable, agreed upon, non-trust breaking divorce, people start to get reactive and scared when they start quantifying your life.
Right.
One, it's just sad as hell.
It is
just depressing to have everything in your life be given a monetary value.
Yeah.
You know, it's really sad.
It's really sad. Writing down furniture, like making a list of furniture.
And that
so
home
sad.
That you bought together that was your first home and it was so special and you've got a picture of you holding the key and now you gotta
it's terrible.
You can't saw it in half, so you gotta like turn it into dollars.
And what happens in mediation is they put everything up on the whiteboard, right?
Yep.
So there's, or not a whiteboard, but like it's poster paper so that they keep that poster paper session after session.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can always go back and see what you guys, you know, have looked at, agreed upon, you know. And so everything's on the table, as it were.
Yes.
So you really have to look at things with a big Sharpie marker in front of your face.
Yeah.
So
that part of it's really brutal. And it also is what...
But it's honest and it's truthful.
Yeah. And what it creates is a lot of fear.
Yeah.
I think in that moment when you're sort of looking at, wait, everybody starts to go into survival mode.
Yeah.
You know, and so kind of crawling your way through this mediation process can be, it can be long and drawn out. How long has yours taken?
Well, you know, we've done really well. It's been over 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
But we kind of had that was of our own doing. You know, we didn't push it because there was insurance involved and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we were amicable enough to decide upon, you know, childcare and stuff. We only live a block apart. We don't fight. We're friends. We're kind of back to where we were before we got married. So we're fortunate. But regarding the actual mediation, we've done maybe a total of 11 hours. Total and broken up in like 2 hours at a time, sometimes just an hour or sometimes 3 hours.
The world's least expensive divorce is really
what happens with mediation. Right. And so what we did was we tried one person and it didn't really work for us. And then we went to this other person and, you know, it was, I think, $300 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So at first it seems like a lot of money, $300. But then you get in there and the first thing at least this person did is she put up on the board what it would cost us conservatively to each have our own lawyer and how that would cut into the money we're talking about. There's only a certain amount of money that there is. And who do you want to have that money? How do you want it distributed? Do you want it to go to this lawyer or this, you know, person who's doing the filing or this person who's, you know, doing the mailing and the scanning or whatever it is?
Yeah. All the billable hours.
All the billable hours. Where do you want the money to go? Mm-hmm. Or do you want the money to go to your child or to your individual savings accounts?
Right.
So if you can drag yourself to the first mediation meeting, if you and your spouse are thinking about getting divorced or whatever, and even if somebody cheated and somebody lied and you are trying to fight back with everything you have and you're angry and you want to hurt them, if you can possibly get to the first mediation meeting and let them show you the numbers, then you would be a fool to not continue mediation.
And the reason that they do that, and then they sort of sell you on mediation when you're already in mediation, is because they want you to understand, they kind of want you to be committed. They want you to be committed to working it out here.
Yeah.
Because if you're not willing to deal with the reality that is put up on that paper.
Right.
And work it out like grown-ups, even if you had bad days. There were many tears in mediation for me. There was one point I almost threw myself onto Colorado Boulevard. I had his assistant came out and prayed over me. I was fucking falling apart.
I know. I'd have to
mediation,
go sit in the
hallway. Right. I mean, mediation can be really, really tough.
Brutal.
But I still was committed to working it out there, because if you then go to a lawyer, you are starting from scratch, and there's just all the college fund is going away,
and all the money's going away.
All the money's going away.
You can't see it anymore. The thing with mediation is you see it. It's like everybody sitting at the kitchen table and going over it, and it's ugly and it's scary and sad, and all those things are very legitimate. However, if you let it into somebody else's hands, you don't see all that.
Right.
It's still happening, though.
It's still there, and the numbers are still there. And I think that what happens is that you have to get really honest with yourself as to whether or not you've had your head in the sand financially during your marriage. If you have not been deeply in touch with how much your life costs and how much you make and your spouse makes or whatever, and how much equity you have in your home, you should know these things.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you, you know, have your head in your head in the sand, la, 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 and then boom, it splits apart. You might have been living a certain lifestyle where you just assume that there's like a pocket full of cash laying under a mattress somewhere.
I don't know anybody
somewhere.
That lives like that anymore, though. Do you, Sophie?
Yes. Yes. And you have to remember, I've talked to women who have been married 25 years.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Old school, not necessarily.
I have talked to, yes and no. I've talked to women from probably 35 to 55 who really couldn't tell you how much their bills were.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's really common because money is a very difficult issue. It's harder to talk about than sex. Hmm. And let me tell you, when you're going through a divorce, you are going to talk about money. So you better get comfortable with it and you better get knowledgeable about how much it costs you to live.
Yeah.
Because one, the court's going to require you to fill out a piece of paper. Okay. And you need to be dealing in reality. You know, before you say, I'm going to take him for everything he's got, you have to remember, if you have children, you are on, you may be on different ends of the boat, but you're on the same boat.
Right.
Okay. And you can sink it with lawyers. You can sink it by.
And lawyer will always, they'll always encourage you to do so. They want, if you're not fighting, if you're not in trouble with your divorce, if your divorce is going smoothly, they're making less money.
Yes. But there are plenty of lawyers, divorce lawyers out there that will tell you, I would love to close more cases because there's a point at which sitting around people fighting over the CD collection. You know, it's like, could we just close this case because I got other things to do?
Yeah.
So, and you're, meanwhile, they know if you they have any conscience at all, they know that they're basically getting all your kids' savings right now. And they
it's very uncomfortable.
It's very sad.
But if you look at it like, well, look, maybe I'll live 75 years and I can say, there were these 2 or 3 years that kind of sucked and I had to look at this stuff and I didn't want to, but it's worth it. If now I can be apart from that person and living my own life.
And continuing to evolve as a person.
I think I have 20 more years, maybe.
At least.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. You're taking good care. Look at you in your little tennis skirt.
But I'm 50.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so life is short. That's my point.
And well, life is short. So, you know, accept your divorce, embrace your divorce, get to the other side of it. Most, I have yet to meet anybody really who's on the other side of their divorce that regrets it.
Yeah. Well, change is ultimately good. It's just hard to go through.
Yes.
But ultimately, change is good.
You don't want to have to convince somebody to stay in relationship with you.
Right.
And once you get past the many levels of grief, whether it's the paradigm of happily ever after that you've lost or the home that you really loved that now you can't the big house, if you have one, gets divided into two little houses or the little house gets divided into two apartments. You know,
we had to sell the little house.
You got
to
sell the little house. Right. And then that was maybe precious to you.
I mourn
the house. Right. And there's like a million of those things that you end up mourning.
And then you do have to acquiesce, you know, like in this mediation that I'm currently going through, we're almost wrapped up. But I've had to acquiesce and it pisses me off, man. Mm-hmm. And I have to swallow it, but it's worth it. I know it's worth
it. So why is it worth it? So how do you decide which battles
to pick? Well, because in this case, it's a property that we own together in Las Vegas. And I don't know if you've heard, but it's not a good place to own property right now.
Sadly, no.
And our property is way underwater. And somebody had to take the fall. Mm-hmm. Do we ruin both of our credits or do one of us get, you know? Well, we're not ruining it.
But the point is,
now it's my responsibility.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, someday I would have to foreclose or short sale or anything like that, it is my hit.
It's on you.
So I'm taking that hit. And that's making me incredibly sick to my stomach. So I'm not thrilled about that. But I know that at the end of the day, I truly believe he's not trying to screw me over. And I know I'm not trying to screw him over. So I just feel like I'm going to swallow this one. And, you know, he owes me. No. No, but I feel.
But that is the false, illusion that you think anybody is ever going to like turn around and thank you.
No, but luckily, I'm fortunate that we have a good relationship. Yeah. And
I have a great relationship with my ex at this
point. Yeah, I know your ex. And, he's a good guy.
Yeah. And mediation was brutal at times.
It is brutal at times.
But the fact that we were able to work it out and that we were able to go through that, you know, financial stuff still comes up. That's the thing. You're never going to stop talking about this. So, little Jimmy wants to play soccer.
Well, go to college, or
there's, you know, $300 a month on, cheerleading camp or what, I don't know.
Right. No, my daughter's tennis camp is coming up and here we've got another $625 because somebody needs to come up with $625.
But you have to have a way to talk about that.
And it says a lot about a person to get through mediation, I think, because if you're full of anger and you hate that other person and constantly speak bad of them, then I beg to question what was your judgment to begin with to fall in love with an asshole that it sounds like that person is.
You have to own your choice. You have to own who you married. You have to own that choice.
Yeah.
And you cannot expect the dance that you do during your divorce to be any better or less frustrating.
Right.
Or really different than the dance you were doing when you were married.
Yeah, there's a reason why you're getting divorced.
There's a reason. If you could reasonably agree without a mediator, you probably wouldn't be getting divorced.
Yeah.
Right.
So look, if anybody out there has a lawyer right now and you're fighting and things are getting bad and emails are getting slung back and forth and there's a lot of, you know, questioning and mystery and what's going on, try to consider going to a mediator.
Yeah.
You know, Google a mediator in your zip code or whatever. And just if you could possibly even get to one meeting with your ex or with your, you know, the other person in the relationship, if you can possibly even get to one meeting, you'll be better for it.
I would agree.
They'll explain.
It
just comes down to money.
Let them explain.
Let them explain.
It comes down.
It just comes down to money. Yeah, it's nothing more.
And there are things. There's also something out there called cooperative divorce groups, and they have an accountant, mediators or lawyers, accountants, lawyers, and therapists, right? And
it's like a triage.
Yes, it is, and it's called cooperative divorce, but when you come into that, you agree to not go to court.
Yeah.
That is the spirit of it, is we're not going to court.
That's great.
We're going to work this out. And a divorce accountant can be your best friend and save you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because they do things like that. They just run the numbers. It's like, in fact, we still go sometimes. You know, we sit down and we look at the numbers and it's just like she's super straightforward and
helps you just work it out. These mediators, yeah, they're not involved personally. They don't really care about.
They don't care if you cheated or if he didn't change diapers.
Nobody's really interested.
Nobody gives a shit.
It's just about numbers.
And I'll tell you who cares even less about all that
your
stuff.
Your friends.
Well,
your family, your mother.
I'm just thinking of all the phone calls, you know, of all the like bending the ears of the friends, because we all do it. You know, who cares even less is a family court judge. Spend a day, well, don't, but I have. Spend a day in family court.
I see.
Watching the cases go by.
I see.
Right?
And the judges
and
are just
all
like,
of these things that you are holding on to, that he was, you know, he didn't change any diapers, or he, you know, started dating his trainer, or, you know, she was a drinker, or this, or I had to clean up her bar. Like, what?
None of it matters.
They do not care.
Yeah.
They can't care.
That's
not how the law works.
Right.
They care only when it comes to the safety of your children and whether or not that person can watch your child. But let me tell you, that's very difficult to prove.
Yeah, it's not personal. None of this is personal.
It's not personal, exactly. Right. And when you get into court.
It seems personal, but it's not.
You know, people, they get all like worked up and they get ready to go to court and they're like, the judge is totally going to be on my side. And then literally 90 seconds later, the judge has made their decision.
Yeah.
And it's based on black and white.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not saying it's always right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to do with feelings.
But it has nothing to do. So your feelings, the fact that you're in this divorce, your grief, all of those things, that's your responsibility to manage. And then the greatest gift that you can give to your children is that you can commit to
moving through it.
To moving through it
right.
And owning you know, your decisions and your choices.
Because then you can get on to the next phase
exactly.
in your life.
Exactly. Then you can work that out as peacefully as possible. You know, you can't control other people, but you can control yourself. And that's going to help you be more present for your children.
See that? Make your life fabulous.
Make it
Go
fabulous.
Go to mediation. I will come over there and I will cut you.
Well, I didn't know we were going to digress to violence. Well, tell us how we can find you and find your book.
You know what?
It's super inspiring.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Storyworthymedia.com. That's where you can find me. Storyworthymedia.com. You can see the podcast there and also the game show and the publishing and a consulting business I have for social media. So there you go.
Because Christine is a mogul.
I'm a mogul. I'm a little mini mogul.
She's a little mini mogul.
I'm just going to do it all.
Yes. You can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable and tweet me at Sophie_Venable.
Mm.
Some girl took my name. If you're on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe because that would really help me. Be sure to download your free goal setting workbook from my website, makeyourlifefabulous.com. And my book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. So thank you again, Christine, for being here.
Thank you so much.
It was super fun.
Such a blast.
And thank you all for listening. Okay, we have to wrap things up here. I'd like to take a minute to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network. And this is Sophie Venable reminding you to make your life fabulous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.